Yeah, what is that noise? It's like someone's fucking alarm.
It's not me.
Oh, I meant your voice.
But do you hear that noise?
No.
It's like... Okay, I'm going to have to call you back. It's weird. It's like this noise. It's like... It's like a rhythm. It's like a beat.
Nah, man. All right, hang up and call that.
Okay.
It sounds like he's describing the Skype music when you first log in.
That's a banger.
Doom, 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 doom.
That's doom, a good track, doom, man.
Yeah, man. Don't lie. Salt.
You like it.
Imagine making that your ringtone, not really knowing if somebody's trying to Skype call you or just call you for real.
Try it.
That'll fuck you up real good.
Try it.
Maybe I will.
Except that means that people ask you to call you too. Just to test this theory.
That's true. Don't get many phone calls anymore.
No, man.
No, I'm back.
Do you still hear it?
Do you still hear it?
No, no, I don't know what it was. I feel like I, you know, the, no, it wasn't that. It was like, it literally seemed like it was like a fire alarm, but it was like a doot, doot. Like that, for like,
fuck.
Yeah, it felt like I was trying to join the call, but I was already on it.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I have my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
What you gonna do when Luka Mania runs wild over you?
Pause.
Okay.
Pause.
All right. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
Clearly not in as much drugs as Josh, but I'm having a good time with the NBA season. We're almost Christmas time, so it's getting exciting.
Wow, that was the exact opposite of what Josh gave me, man.
Where's the energy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, I'm feeling nice right now. The season's really shaping up to be a good one. I honestly can say this is probably my favorite regular season in the last 3 or 4 years so far.
Wow. That's a big statement. All right. Why, Raj? Why are you feeling so good?
I feel for the first time in a very long time that there are questions in both conferences. I feel that like the stability we've had in the last 4 or 5 years is kind of gone in terms of the same few teams. Teams look different. We're still trying to see if how good certain teams are. And I feel there's just a lot of young, exciting players that are making their mark on the NBA. And there's still a few of those NBA vets, but there's just a lot of storylines and there's so many teams that we can talk about. And I know we're going to spend a lot of time getting into that today.
That's a good segue, man. Thank you. We're about a month and a half into the season, right? Started mid-October-ish? Okay. What do we want to do here? Like, how do we want to talk about these teams? You want to pick one team from each conference and then we'll just go in on them?
Well, I think we can talk about several teams. I think we should maybe talk about, like, we talked last time on the pod about three teams that have kind of, like, disappointed us, or two teams that have disappointed us and two teams that have impressed us. I think we talk about maybe a team that we haven't spent a lot of time about on each conference.
All right, fine. Let's throw this to Josh. You've been really quiet.
I think we should start with a mid-level Western Conference team. So I'm going to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about Minnesota? I mean, they're having a pretty interesting season.
Feel free, man. Go nuts.
So they're the seventh seed right now. They're 10 wins, 9 losses. And nobody's really paying attention to them. Like, there's been a lot of talk about Phoenix or the 8th seed right now at 8-10. And there's obviously talk about Portland, who's 8-12 right now on the come up. San Antonio's been garbage the entire year. But Minnesota sort of remained consistent throughout the season. And now they're, you know, bringing Jared Culver in the starting lineup. Jeff Teague is coming off the bench, and they've still maintained their play so far. I know they lost today. They've had a few bad losses as well, but, so far Cat has been a top 5 to 7 player this year, and Andrew Wiggins has remained consistent even after coming back from, you know, illness. And I think one of his family members died. yeah, he missed a couple games there, but he's come back and he's been averaging 23 points and 6 rebounds since he came back. And they play a pretty unconventional style in terms of the guys that they play on the court, because they often play with a bunch of 6'7" dudes and then Cat. And they can't really shoot, but yet here they are, 10-9.
Can you name me their starting five?
Oof.
Jared Culver, Travion Graham, Andrew Wiggins, Covington, and Towns.
Travion Graham is starting ahead of Josh Okogie?
Yes.
Wow.
Like I said, it's a very odd lineup.
Yeah, they have a lot of slashers, and like I think Kat's been playing a lot away from the rim. I think he was averaging like one of the most 3-point attempts for a big this year, if I'm not wrong. He's averaging.
Yeah, he was on pace to beat Steph's 3-point record a couple games ago.
Wait, what?
Like, he's shooting unbelievably well from 3-point land, too. I think he's shooting like 42% on like 11 attempts a game.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
No way, 11?
He's up there, man. Like, he's one of the highest 3-point attempt guys in the league.
Which is very surprising, considering, like, he's not historically in the couple of seasons he's been in the NBA. He was able to shoot the three, but that was not his bread and butter. Like, Embiid was taking way more threes than him last year.
Cat is averaging 8.93 attempts a game. Do you want to guess what he's shooting? Like, his percentage?
36%.
42.
Well, you're both low.
45?
44.
Whoa.
He is shooting 4-4-4 right now from the three.
Get him in the 3-point contest.
He's gonna have to.
He should
be.
Honestly, that's not even a joke anymore.
So what turned this Minnesota team around? Other than Andrew Wiggins coming out of nowhere, being a real player for once.
No, I think that's just coaching and philosophy, right? Because they brought in Gerson Rosas, who's like running the team now, and he's from, you know, the Houston tree, I think. And, you know, they've totally changed their style on offense. I mean, the last couple of years, they've sort of been like San Antonio, where they don't really take a lot of threes. I'm pretty sure they were in the bottom two, if not bottom three. Maybe even bottom one in terms of 3-point attempts the last couple of years.
No way. San Antonio was definitely bottom
last
one.
Years. Was that?
There's no way they were worse than San Antonio.
They were worse than San Antonio one of the years. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago where they shot like 19 threes a game. It was something ridiculous.
I think that would have been before San Antonio got DeMar and still had Danny Green on.
Yeah, maybe. But even then, like, San Antonio shot a pretty good percentage from threes, so even though they weren't taking that many, they were making a bunch, but
true.
Minnesota wasn't doing either. And now they take a lot of threes, but only one guy is really hitting them. I mean, Wiggins has been okay this year, too. I think he's at, like, 35, 36%, and he's changed his shot profile, but I think that's the big thing is, like, they've totally changed their shot profile where it's either, you know, in the paint or by three. And even though these guys like Okogie and, you know, Travion Graham are shooting, you know, 5 to 7 threes a game themselves, they're not really hitting them, but, you know, at least offensive rebounds and different opportunities that they didn't have before with Wiggins shooting fadeaways, but he's cut that out now.
Can you name the top 5 3-point shooters on this team by attempt per game?
Well, Cat number one.
Easily, yeah.
I'm gonna say, oof. I don't think Wiggins is probably three.
Wiggins is two. Oh, at 2.3.
Mm.
These next three are gonna be, well.
Jared Culver?
No, definitely not. Okay. He's at one a game.
Okay.
Travion Graham.
You wish. Yo, how did we forget the actual, three guard? It's your boy, Josh.
Covington.
Covington's playing the four now.
Okay, fine. Well, you still didn't name him off.
I just figured he wouldn't be on there because he's not really shooting that much this year.
He's shooting he's shooting 5.5 attempts, man.
That's low for him.
Yeah, he's only hitting 1.9, though. Anyways, you're not going to get these last two. Number four, you have K-Dub Bates Jupp at 1.6 made. And your boy, Jack Layman.
Jack.
Jake.
Jack. No, Jack is, I did that totally on purpose. Jack.
Oh, okay.
Let's be real.
Don't put disrespect on his name.
Jakob Layman.
Jakob Layman. Yeah, Jake Layman, 1.4. No Jeff T. No Travion Graham, no Jared Culver.
Jeff Teague is like the only guy left in the NBA that still hesitates on wide open threes.
Yo, Jeff Teague has to be the most boring player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably is like the most fundamental, like non, like all these NBA point guards that are coming in have to have a 3-point shot. Like he's like kind of prototypical. Him and Rondo are like the guards that don't shoot.
Yo, Rondo shoots more than him.
Which is crazy sad.
Yo, Jeff Teague was okay with becoming a bench player. Who does that? Oh my god. He's actually killing my fantasy team. That's why I'm very upset about this. For much more
selfish. He's in a contract year now, too.
Yeah, like, what's the purpose in this? He's gonna retire, man. He's gonna pull a Darren Collison and just bounce after this year. He's had enough.
I feel like Nikola Jokic is gonna be the next guy to retire all of a sudden. He's gonna get tired of, like, running and be like, yeah, I'm just gonna buff and just stay there.
Man, Nikola Jokic is so disappointing this year. Don't kill me.
We'll get there one day, Peter. We'll talk about that. We'll have to have a whole show for about the Denver Nuggets.
I'm gonna have to avoid it. Alright, any final words about Minnesota? Oh my god, what is that static?
So I think after we discuss every team that we should say whether or not they're gonna trend upwards or downwards going forward. So do we think Minnesota's actually gonna make the playoffs in this case?
No. I don't see it. Unless they make a trade acquisition. I just don't think they have enough consistent players on the offensive side of the ball, and especially the way that Kat's shooting. I don't think he's going to maintain 44% for the rest of the season on like 9 attempts a game, and they're only 10-9 right now, and they started off very hot. So I can see them trending a little more downwards, probably into the 11-12 seed.
Are we sure about that? Because if you look at the standings right now, there are a few teams that you can automatically cross off from playoff contention, right? Warriors, Grizzlies for sure. Pelicans, I'm going to say they're out of the playoff run. Like, I don't really see them doing anything.
Are they Zion? With Zion?
It's going to take them too long to get back. I don't think the Pelicans can actually make it, man.
They do have a lot of talent, though.
They do, but they can't get a stop.
That is true.
They're basically the Washington Wizards, but in the West.
Washington's fun to watch.
Yeah, they're fun, but they just can't stop anybody.
This is true.
They play YMCA defense, man.
The best kind of defense.
Yeah, for us. It's great. Yeah. I can see Minnesota making the playoffs. I'm not sold on the Thunder. Blazers are like the only team I could see getting back into the playoff hunt, or in the playoff picture.
Don't discount the Spurs either.
I'm out of the Spurs. I'm done with them.
I've been done for 2 years. Let's get rid of it.
The Spurs are the team that's going to make the biggest splash in the next couple of weeks. They're going to trade DeRozan.
Yeah, I could see that happening. But that might
help them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they could turn it around. They're historically a good home team. And I don't know. Minnesota started very hot. Like in their last 10 games, I don't think they have a winning record.
Yeah, and the way they play, there's a lot of variance as well. Cause I mean, with taking that many 3-point shots, if you're not hitting like 15 plus, you're not going to win.
Yeah. Josh, what do you think? I think Minnesota is going to slip out of the playoff picture.
I think they're going to sort of maintain where they're at. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they'll be like the 9 seed.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take it. I'll take that instead of 12. I looked up the standings again and. I think there's a few more teams that are below them. But yeah, I think 9-10 is fair.
The thing is, though, like Minnesota has a lot of trade pieces, right? Because like Jeff Teague's going into his last year, obviously. He's got a decent-sized contract. Covington's a big asset for them. And then like now, you know, with the way that Wiggins is playing, maybe they, you know, if some team is willing to take the risk, that is, maybe they make the jump and like just try to trade him for whatever they can get while he's hot.
Would you trade, if you're Minnesota, would you trade Wiggins for Chris Paul and like a pick?
No.
Just cause Chris Paul's too old.
It just doesn't match up with their timeline. Like they should be rebuilding the right way. And I love Chris Paul and everything, but I don't think that's the fit.
Uh-huh.
Who would you actually trade Wiggins for then? Cause you want a strong point guard to go with Kat, right?
I think you look at a team like Atlanta. I'm not really sure what they have to give, to be honest, but, you know, a team that's looking for another type of, not, I guess you can call Wiggins a star right now, maybe. I don't know. But whatever he is, you know, he can go along with Trae Young and provide more, you know, offense and not have Trae do everything out there.
But that's Trae Young's game, man.
True, but he needs another guy with him. I know John Collins is really good too, but you know, they just need another guy and maybe they want to take that jump.
They need a clean player is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see who you would actually trade Wiggins for. I think Rocco has a much easier contract to trade.
And sure, I think he's a player that every team wants to get, so you have to get something really good back for him.
I don't know. Let's move on. You've already teased the team that I want to talk about, so I want to know what you guys think about the Spurs more in-depthly than just their trash. Because for the past two years, I've been out on this team. Since the DeMar trade, I've been out. I didn't think they would make the playoffs last year, and they snuck in. This year, I said they weren't going to make it again. I don't believe it. I don't think you can win with a team shooting strictly mid-range shots nowadays. DeMar DeRozan finally hit his first three of the year, over the past, 3 days? Come on, man.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Spurs is, they are the prehistoric NBA team right now. In terms of the way they play, the shot selections they get, the pace they want to play at, and before you would find more teams that were playing maybe not at the Houston Rockets pace, but somewhere in between the Spurs pace and the Rockets pace. But nowadays, all the teams are playing faster. There's more possessions. More teams are shooting threes. The games just become way more open. And if you just look at their roster, they have a lot of very average players, and then the players that they do have that are maybe their more established stars are on the end of their career. Obviously, we're talking about LaMarcus and DeRozan, and then obviously Rudy Gay, kind of being the third person, the third leading scorer probably on that team. And then you just have a bunch of young guards, and it seems like they're kind of stuck in mediocrity. They're a team that probably could fight for the eighth spot, but I don't know if that's going to bring them anywhere besides butt whooping by either the Lakers or the Clippers.
So you guys both talk about them being in the prehistoric days, yet who do you think has a better offensive rating, the Pelicans or the Spurs?
Well, just because you said it like that, I'm going to say the Spurs.
You're right. So, yeah. I mean, San Antonio going into today was actually the eighth ranked offense in the NBA. The problem isn't their offense, their defense. Cause I know I unearthed this big stat that came through Twitter. I told you guys about a couple weeks ago. I think it was about a week ago, actually. With DeMar DeRozan on the court, they are by far the worst defensive team in the NBA. And with him off the court, they're the best defensive team in the NBA. So that just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of it comes down to how terrible DeMar DeRozan is on defense.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, imagine the Spurs without DeMar DeRozan on offense. Their offense doesn't flow very well.
It would flow better without him in there because he'd have more spacing in there and more guys get opportunities.
And
I think it's the same thing as what happened to the Raptors. I mean, even on the Raptors, he had a bad rating. He was a negative player on the Raptors despite his stats. When he was off the court, the Raptors were better.
Yeah, and maybe. I think the Spurs will probably go the route to see what they can do without him, because having DeMar and looking to have him long term, I don't think that's the solution for them. And DeMar DeRozan cannot be your top player, and I think there's a strong statement to be made that he should be playing on a very defensive minded team and a team where they need his offensive scoring, and he needs to be the third option, second or third option on a team that's very defensive minded already.
Well, you're basically describing the Spurs besides the role. I mean,
but the Spurs aren't very, I wouldn't say they're one of the better defensive teams this year, even though the rating may suggest that.
Not this year, but in the previous years they were.
Yeah, but this year their team's much older. They don't have the athleticism to keep up with a lot of the Western Conference teams.
Nah, I don't know. I disagree with that. I think they need to trade DeRozan and just hand the keys over to DeJounte, play spread offense, let Lonnie Walker play Rudy Gay. They should just trade DeRozan for Aaron Gordon. That's the trade needs to happen.
I don't know if the Magic would trade away Aaron Gordon for him, but it could work.
Yo, DeMar I think they DeRozan should. I mean, Terrence Ross back together?
Oh my god.
Bring in Sonny Weems? Yeah. 2000 Toronto Raptors, whatever that was, 2010. Was it
Calderon out of retirement?
Absolutely. Get him off a pig farm.
Pig farm. Yeah, have you seen LaMarcus Aldridge this year?
Yeah, he's been bad.
He's been awful. Yo, have you seen him run?
I think he's always run like that, though.
He has. I just wanted to pick on him. Yo, he looks like an old man at the Y.
Yeah, he does. He, and especially with the game going so much faster, like it's hard to watch.
Yeah, you can really see him hustling, and like he moves like a turtle out there. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're 7-14 right now after today, and they lost to the Pistons by 30 points, and the Pistons lost like 7 straight games before that.
Woo, Detroit. Let's go.
Luke Kennard's team, eh?
You mean Christian Wood's team, 28 points today? That's my guy.
He's picking on the lack of LaMarcus Aldridge. Picking on Jakob.
He's picking on the old man.
Just Jakob Poeltl today. I don't know, man. This team has, like, even if you bench DeMar more often, say you take his minutes down to 28 minutes a game instead of 34, what do you end up doing? Playing more Patty Mills and Bryn Forbes at the two?
I mean, Patty Mills has actually been really good this year, so that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Really?
He's been good this year. With him on the court, like, the Spurs are actually a plus team.
Yeah, but you also have to take into account who he's playing against, right? Like, he's playing against bench players.
Yeah, true. I think that's one thing to not get too confused with the stats. Like, I watched the Lakers-Spurs game, and obviously that was one game, but DeMar DeRozan got picked on by LeBron, and this is like the 10th year in a row where it's happened, where he just sees him on the court, and he's like, I'm going to bring you inside in the paint and basically make you suffer. And I think the fact that when DeMar is off, it's mostly in the second units are playing, and the Spurs probably still manage to score and do well defensively on their second unit. But I think if you replaced him with Forbes, I think you'd suffer both on the offense and probably do better on the defensive end. But net, I think you'd be probably worse off.
Yeah, DeMar can beat up Quinn Cook pretty easily.
I think right now, though, the Spurs are just in a bad spot either way, whether they play DeMar or not. I mean, they just have to, look for a trade for him, honestly. Like, he still has value around the NBA, obviously. I think he's in the contract here as well. So, get whatever you can for him for now, cause, you know, the ship be sinking. They're 7-14. I think it's time to make a change.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be active after December 15th, and, it might be Orlando. I could see that happening. I do think though the Spurs are going to be trending upwards. I don't think they're guaranteed a playoff berth, but I think they'll be fighting for the playoff berth with the likes of Minnesota.
If they don't trade DeMar?
If they trade DeMar, I think either way they're going to be a bubble team.
Yeah, I mean, if they trade DeMar and get, like, Aaron Gordon back, I can definitely see their team trending upward.
Man, you're really high on Aaron Gordon.
I like Aaron Gordon, but I think that, you know, you spread the ball out more, and you have a spread offense, and, you know, and defensively, you have somebody else in that spot that can actually play defense in Gordon. And I think you just get better on that side of the ball. You go from, like, I think the 27th in defense right now. You get Aaron Gordon, and you hand the ball over to DeJounte Murray. I think they would get better in that case.
We need to get DeMar to the Knicks.
Yeah. Didn't DeJounte get benched as well?
Yeah, I mean, he started the year starting with DeRozan, and obviously those two are just not going to work together because everyone predicted that. Either guy takes threes, and DeJounte is a primary ball handler, so if he's playing on the wing, he's not going to get the ball, and thus he's been ineffective.
DeMar to New York.
Yeah,
I want to see DeMar in Orlando just to see, like, basically the Spurs experiment, but on crack. Because you basically have nobody that can shoot in that lineup. Markelle Fultz and DeMar DeRozan backcourt. Give me it.
No, Nikola Vucevic would be the best shooter on the team.
Yeah, no, especially with Isaac as well.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want to see DeMar DeRozan for Marcus Morris Sr. Bring Marcus Morris to San Antonio after all this time.
Oh, man, he's going to ruin RJ Barrett's career, though. They actually re-sign him. Oof.
Who, Marcus?
No, DeMar.
Oh, DeMar. DeMar's got 2 years. He's got 2 years.
LaMarcus, too.
DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge both have 2 years left. And Rudy Gay.
Really?
And Patty Mills. Yo, everyone on this team has 2 years.
I even DeMar was expiring.
Yeah, I thought DeMar was... No, DeMar's done 21.
He's got a player option next year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which he's obviously going to take, man. It's $27 million.
He's not he's definitely taking that. He's trash.
All right. So, Josh, where do you think they're going to end up?
Probably in the 12 seed.
So basically where they are right now?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I can see 10 to 12. Sorry, San Antonio. The ride is over after 20-something years of being in the playoffs.
Unless they trade him on December 15th exactly and, you know, they get Aaron Gordon and then they start trending up, then they might make the playoffs. You never know.
Nah, even with somebody else, I don't see it. They're too far gone. It's only 21 games in the season. They're too far gone. All right, Raj, who you got?
I want to talk about Utah. I know this is probably the third team we're doing in the West, but I think there's a lot to talk about kind of with what's happened in, over the first 20 games. I think Mike Conley started off the season slow and people expected him to pick up his production. But like in the first 20 games, this is probably rock bottom for Mike Conley in terms of his production and his fit and his shooting percentage, field goal percentage. There obviously has been some pleasant surprise. I think they finally got that second or third option on offense with Bojan Bogdanović, who's been playing exceptionally well with Utah. And they obviously had Gobert sitting out a few games, but this team just hasn't performed to the standards that I think a lot of people were predicting they would, especially just adding Mike Conley, who's an excellent defensive player. And really kind of vamping up their defense. Like, I really expected them to be a shoe-in for a top three seed, top four seed. And I think they'll still make the playoffs and I think they could have a chance, but I think overall they're clearly a class below, the Western Conference elite teams and, a bit disappointing. They may be a tough matchup in the playoffs, but I think they've just been disappointing overall.
You know who's not being disappointed? My boy Emmanuel Mudiay.
I thought you were going to say Bojan, because Bojan's been really good this year.
No, yeah, Bojan's been incredible. You're right. Bojan was exactly the second scorer that they needed, but a lot of it really is reliant on Mike Conley, right? And Rudy Gobert doesn't seem as explosive as he has been in the past years.
Yeah, something's not right. Like, they got blown out by the Raptors. We're recording this on Sunday after they were down 40 points at half. And obviously Utah has been a very good defensive team, but they gave up 77 points to the Raptors and the Raptors made it look easy.
At the same time though, is it just a question of them just gelling as a team? Cause they have a completely different starting lineup now and it's only 20 games in. And, you know, for a team that's, I think they're 21st in offense right now, and they're really good on defense still. So I think that they'll be trending upwards as the season goes along.
Are they really that good on defense?
I mean, before the last couple of games, they were top five, but I'm sure after today too, they're going to be like out of the top 10 because they gave up 130 points.
They are 11th in defensive rating right now.
Yeah.
They were top five?
They were top five up until, I think, a couple of games ago.
Damn.
So they were still really good on defense, but they do struggle against, like, more athletic teams. And they need to make a move, I think, off the bench. I think, you know, we're talking about a guy like Marcus Morris. I think he's the type of guy that would really help them in terms of upgrading their roster because he's a guy that could start for them or just play, you know, 25 to 30 minutes off the bench and be a consistent scorer. And he's one of the best spot-up players in the NBA this year. Which is sort of surprising, but he's been really good. And, you know, they wouldn't take a lot to get Marcus Morris off the Knicks.
I think he's leading the league in three-point percentage right now.
Yeah, and I think he was I think he's top five in spot-up percentage, too. So that's perfect for the Jazz, who take a lot of spot-up shots.
That's awesome. He would be perfect on this team, you're right. Yeah, I think they need someone to replace Derek Favors at the four. Because last year, that combination of Favors and Gobert and then Never Gobert went to the bench. You had Favors there locking up the paint. Now, like, who do you have after Gobert? Royce O'Neal's their starting four? Or Bojan Bogdanović? Like, those guys can't handle that.
Yeah, like, I think we talked about this kind of going on, like, in our preseason preview. They don't really have a true number four. I think Bojan Bogdanović is undersized if they play him there, or if they play Royce O'Neal or whoever they're playing. And I think a lineup where you have a four that can potentially space the floor, solid defensively, that's kind of what they're looking for. Like, even a four like Jeremy Grant, obviously he's a Denver Nugget and I don't see him leaving, but a player of that kind of quality and more of an athleticism, just because they have three guys that are maybe ball dominant who can score, like Mike Conley, Mitchell, and Bojan, and then you obviously have Gobert to clean up the mess. They just need someone to space the floor and play some defense.
Yeah, and I think if, you know, Mike Conley starts playing better, I think this whole thing just turns around. I don't think they're that far off from being really good.
But they're definitely a cut below the elite West teams, at least right now.
Yeah, for sure. But again, we predicted before the season started it's going to take time with them. So after 20 games, you know, they're 12-8. They've had a pretty tough schedule too. It seems like every year Utah has a really tough schedule to start the year. In the second half of the year, they go on these crazy runs like 22-8. And I think the previous year they went like, what, 24-6 or something like that?
Something stupid like that.
They always have these really long road trips in December. And then, you know, come January, they have a really cake schedule. And then all of a sudden they're the third seed.
Can we find Joe Ingles?
Yeah, he's been the one missing piece for them this year. You would think with like so many offensive players now on the team that he would get a lot more open shots and be able to increase his percentages off the bench, but he just hasn't been good so far.
He's not even that old. He's only 32.
He's just missing shots. Like, honestly, I've watched a bunch of their games and he's just missing. It's odd to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. He does have a good shot this year. Does he?
Yeah, I think the difference is he's not really handling the ball as much. Maybe it's just a matter of, you know, not touching the ball as often and him being out of rhythm.
Just getting comfortable again?
Yeah, I mean, some guys just need to touch the ball every once in a while, and, you know, sometimes Utah's offense doesn't run through him.
Yeah. He does have a good rapport with Bogdanović, though.
Yeah.
I've seen them working well together.
And he's the one guy who always gets Rudy the ball. Like, Rudy's been pretty frustrated the first 20 games and not getting the ball after rolling the basket. And he's, like, the one guy that always gets him the ball, so.
It's been getting better. I think at the beginning of the year, you had Donovan Mitchell trying to, like, really establish himself as the alpha on this team.
Don't want Bojan taking his shots.
Yo, Bojan's getting his shots up. This guy does not stop shooting, and I love it. Again, purely fantasy purposes, but
this guy is
gunning.
Woo, great pickup.
All right, so right now the Utah Jazz sit at the sixth spot in the West. Thoughts? I'm saying they go up. Four or five.
I'm gonna say they stay the same. I think maybe they go up five, but I think there's four teams better than them in the West.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be trending upwards. I think they'll be a top five seed. And I still think they'll get home court advantage. So, yeah, give me the 4 seed.
Hey, that's very consistent with what we said going into the year. Raj being a hater and then the two of us loving it.
Well, like, I hope they do well. I'm all about defense, but I just think that the other teams in the West have showed up and I think they're forces to be reckoned with, so.
Right. Mike Conley's not washed. They'll be fine.
Thanks. Good reassurance. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right, Josh, take us out east. Give me something good here.
I mean, we got to talk about the Raptors, right?
Do we?
Oh, come on. We have
to talk really? About the Raptors. Oh my
they
God.
Are dominating the NBA right now. Ever since ESPN put them as number 11 in their rankings, their weekly rankings, the Raptors should be like 1 to 10 for this week's rankings.
1 to 10?
Absolutely. They are the best team in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good. I wouldn't say they're the best, but they're pretty good.
Okay, well,
yeah, they're better than Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to kind of agree with Josh. I know we live in the Canadian market and we get all that Sportsnet, TSN garbage shoved down our throats, but
oh yeah, and Canada's gonna win the Olympics in 2020. Mark it down.
All right, let's not get carried away.
Whatever that weird tournament is to qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah.
No, we already got that on lockdown.
Yeah, but going back to the Raptors now, I think the great thing about the Raptors is they found players in the offseason that really fit their system. And if they didn't fit their system, I think that Masai was smart enough to know that these players were not given long-term deals. So these players are working hard, and I'm talking about like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I'm talking about Davis. Obviously, like, they've gotten good production out of Boucher since Serge has been out.
I told you he was a player.
Yeah, and he's been performing well and doing kind of what's been asked for him. And I think one important thing with this team is their morale is very high. And that, I think that is going to carry them a lot going forward. And the way they play defense, like, obviously, you want to see this more in the playoffs, but their level and their intensity that they play with, I think all NBA teams that go against the Raptors, they notice that they play defense at like an elite level. They're probably a top five defensive team. And because of their defense, they're getting a lot of open looks. They're getting out in transition. And I honestly think that the Raptors are probably the second best team in the East right now. And I think they're in a good position to make a playoff run, depending on how healthy they stay.
We also have to talk about the Raptors against star players and some of the stat lines they've produced. I mean, the only guy that's really gone off against them is Luka, right? And he didn't shoot that well that game, but he dominated the second half. But against Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi only had 11 points, and he had turned over the ball over like 8 times in that game. LeBron got shut down. I think he had like 15 points in that game. And nobody's really gone off against them this year. And their defense is the reason why, like the way they scramble, especially against post players, guys who will like work in the mid range. They've stopped everybody.
Josh, can I break something down to you right now?
Go ahead.
How many minutes do you think Fred VanVleet is averaging this year?
50. More than Wilt.
50. Touché. 37.8 minutes a game.
Oof.
Pascal Siakam, 36.9. After that, you have Kyle Lowry at 36.1. He's been injured, so I don't know how much we want to, you know, take that into account. And then OG is playing 30.1. My point is that their top two players, Pascal and Fred VanVleet, are playing insane amounts of minutes right now, and it's not good.
It doesn't matter now. The Raptors are like 14 deep. Once Lowry comes back and they continue to blow out teams. Oh,
why'd
absolutely.
Why'd you say they're so deep?
I think they're,
oh my
I think they're
have
good
you eight. Watched the last 3 weeks?
Hold on.
Terrence Davis is the best backup point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, you've named one bench player.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Mr. Double-Double.
Yeah.
Matt Thomas before he broke his finger in practice. Best 3-point shooter in the NBA. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh. You named me 3 players. How the hell did you just get to 14?
Serge Ibaka. Norman Powell's going back to the bench soon. Come on.
Powell is on the bench, isn't he?
He's going to be soon, but not right now. Lowry's been out, so he's been starting.
Okay.
Yo, man, this team isn't that deep.
Boucher.
You're going like 9, 10 deep.
This team is not that deep. They've won like, what, 8 games in a row without Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka? Chris Boucher's putting up double-doubles off the bench. Terrence Davis is shooting 50% from the field. Come on, man.
Yo, Terrence Davis shooting 50% is not gonna last. Chris Boucher getting double doubles is not gonna last. You should know better.
You're saying that they're not deep and these guys are playing like 20 minutes a game and they won 8 games on a row against a tough schedule.
They're not playing 20 minutes a game. That's the problem. Seriously, that's the problem. Today, in this crazy blowout against Utah, they were running their starters with 4 minutes left in the game. They were up like 22.
Yeah, Nurse can push that sometimes, but I think that's...
Come on, man.
That's okay, though. They're winning, right? They're winning, and, you know, their younger players are getting developmental minutes, and as the season goes along, I think Nick Nurse is going to, you know, tune those minutes down.
No, man, it should be the reverse. Are you serious? You want to lift up their minutes going into the playoffs so they get amped up for it, so they're ready for playoff run.
Yeah, but sometimes you lift their minutes up against, you know, better teams. I think a lot of the reason why their minutes are so high as well is because, you know, they're playing 40-plus minutes a game against teams like Philadelphia and the teams they have to beat.
Yeah, I would say they've had a tough schedule so far, and they've actually played very well against the teams like the Clippers, the Lakers. They played the Mavs. They've also played Philly once, Boston once. Like, they've played, like, a lot of good teams, and especially on the road. Like, they had a, I think, 5 or 6 game road trip, and I kind of agree with Josh in the sense that they did have 2 injuries to like 2 of their top 7 guys, so that might have inflated up Van Vliet's and Siakam's numbers, specifically both those two players whose depth is Ibaka and Lowry. But I do think Nick Nurse has to make sure that these players aren't being overplayed, and I think honestly they're very defensive minded. They play with a lot of energy, and I think the Raptors are going to continue to stay where they are. I don't see them going up very much, but I don't see them dropping unless they have a significant injury.
Okay.
They already did.
2 significant injuries. The Boston Celtics are 1 game behind them in the East right now. Jason Tatum is leading this team. How many minutes do you think he's averaging?
32.
31.
34.4. The Miami Heat, same as the Boston Celtics, with Justice, let's not use Justice, he's been injured. Jimmy Butler, leading the team in minutes, how much do you think he's averaging?
They've had a lot of blowouts, so I'm gonna say 35 instead of his usual 37 to 38.
30. Wow. 33.3.
That's gonna go way up though soon, cause they're gonna start having a tougher schedule than they already had.
Maybe. The Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, Giannis is leading this team in minutes. How much do you think he's averaging?
Once again, a lot of blowouts, so
33.
32.4. There you go.
Yeah. My point is that the Raptors don't need to play their guys so much. Cause you can
not agree with that, but to say that they're not deep is just wrong.
Then use your depth.
No, I agree with you. Use your depth, well, but these guys are producing, man. Like, yeah. Name one bench guy who's played the last 3 weeks that is not producing.
Let me just pick a random game.
No. In general, the last 3 weeks. Like, all these guys that are coming off the bench have been great.
They're doing their job.
Yeah.
And no, they're doing more than that. These guys are putting up huge games.
Yeah.
Like, who expected Chris Boucher to have, like, I think he's got 3 double-doubles this year, right?
Yeah.
Terrence Davis is shooting over 50% from the field as a rookie when he's been getting minutes.
Oh man, LOA is all I can say about these guys.
But yeah, I think what
I don't know.
What do you mean, what do you mean you don't know? You think Terrence Davis is going to average like 50% field goal percentage? I don't know, you know about what? LOA. Come on.
You know what? You know who the Raptors are?
Shut up.
They are the new age San Antonio Spurs. They can plug anybody into the lineup and they'll be good. Except for Richard Jefferson.
Oh man.
Let's not get carried away. But I think one important thing is you mentioned it earlier. Like, most NBA rosters, even in the regular season, like, the deepest the bench goes is like 9. I think 9, maybe 10, but 9 is, I would say, a pretty safe number. The Raptors have had 2 significant long-term injuries to 2 of those 9 players. So they have 7 deep now, really. And even on top of that, Stanley Johnson's been injured and so has Patrick McCaw.
No, those aren't players. Come on.
No, but they.
Oh, McCaw is.
No, he's not. He's not. He was never a contributor last year.
Don't you be smirched the 3-time champion on this podcast, okay?
Yeah, whatever. Suck it, Mark Madsen.
And if you just look at where Stanley Johnson and McCaw are, they're probably Raptors 9-10 guys.
No, right? No. They are like 13-14.
That's what I'm saying. They are not rotation players now.
No, that's they're 9-10.
Look at the guys that they have developed, right? Like, nobody expected Terrence Davis to be anything this year besides me.
Humble brag.
I mean, that's true. I'll give you that.
And their 8th, 9th man? And he may not play as much once Lowry comes back as Norman Powell's going to take those minutes.
I hope he plays as much as he is now, just so Kyle Lowry isn't playing 35 minutes a game.
I agree with you.
That's all I can say. The team is doing great. They're amazing defensively. Everything you can say about them is true, but they're playing a lot of friggin' minutes for these starters, and I don't like it.
Peter, how's that haterade taste?
I'm just bringing you back down to earth.
All right. I think we've had a bit too much Sportsnet and TSN garbage down our throats, so that's why we're...
Stop listening to Tim and Sid.
You know what? Leo's almost a good commentator now.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, no. Now that's blasphemous.
Yeah, I should hang up right now.
That's blasphemous. End the pod.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sort of warming up to him.
I'm done. I'm done with the Raptors talk. Everybody likes them. I get it. Cool. Raj, give me something else in the East, please.
All right. Aren't we gonna talk about whether the Raptors are going to ascend or descend?
Shut up. You think they're gonna repeat as champions. I get it. They're gonna go,
I think they might go undefeated at home this
year. They're gonna go 78-4. They're not gonna lose another game this season. And they're gonna sell out every game. Every game is gonna cost like $1,000 to go to. And they're gonna set every record you can.
You know, the home court advantage has actually become Jurassic Park because when teams come in, they just get eaten by Raptors. Thank you.
All right, so moving on to another team. I want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, Kyrie's been out for, I think, what now, 7 games has it been? And I think the Nets have actually had a better record. I think they're, 5-2 without him?
Against a soft schedule.
Yeah, against a soft schedule.
Doesn't matter. They're winning games that they're supposed to win.
Yeah, and more importantly, I think their team overall is playing better. Like the production you're getting from the role players is better just because the ball's not kind of stuck in Kyrie's hand. And they're right now sitting at 10-10. They're in a playoff seed. But have the Brooklyn Nets really improved that much from last year? I think that's like a question that I asked myself when I watched them, and I'm going to actually say that they haven't. I think they were a better team last year. Obviously, like Durant's injured, and maybe Kyrie comes back from the injury better than ever. But I look at this team, especially with LeVert's injury, like I look at this team with more question marks this year than last year, and I think they're a team that I really don't know if they're going to be a playoff. Well, I think they're going to be a playoff team, but I don't know how good of a team they're going to be because a lot of people expected them to be a top 4 or 5 seed. And I think they're going to just squeeze it in the playoffs. Yeah.
There was talk about like a 5 seed.
Yes.
I think I had them as a 6.
Yeah, I think we had them close with Indiana and like below the Milwaukee's and the Celtics and the Phillies. Like we had them in the same category as the Raps and the Pacers.
Well, not Josh.
No. Not me.
Not my Josh.
But no, is this team better without Kyrie?
No. I hate that media tie. That's so stupid.
I'm not saying better, but I'm saying fine. I did say the word better, but I'm saying but is this team better than last year's Brooklyn Nets team?
Yeah, I think they're about the same. I mean, what you described already is a team that's going to be in the playoffs and probably first round and out, so. I think they have a higher ceiling in the playoffs because they have Kyrie, but ultimately that's probably their destiny because there are at least 4 teams better than them. But in the regular season, I mean, you know, go back to the Utah talk, it just takes time for newer players, especially ones that handle the ball as much as Kyrie, to really fit into a system. And the reason why they're better without him, in terms of offense especially, is they're used to playing that system with Dinwiddie at point guard. And they were used to playing with Russell, obviously, when he was in there. And like you said, there's more guys getting opportunities now, whereas with Kyrie, he handles the ball a little bit too much sometimes. But I think as the season rolls along, and Kyrie will eventually defer a little bit, and guys will continue to get more opportunities like, you know, Harris and Prince, because when they play well, they generally win.
Yeah, I just look at this team, and I think they took a step, I don't want to say backwards, but definitely not a step forward with the development of their players. Like, I think if you look at individually their players and overall team performances, I think last year was a huge year for them in terms of just showing a lot of their younger players and role players really stepping up, like Jared Allen, Joe Harris. And this year it's like, I just feel that the team doesn't run as well. Like, their identity isn't as established, and I expected them with Kyrie to be a bit better team, and obviously Dinwiddie running the point. I now see them like in a situation where if Kyrie comes back and they're not running as smoothly, not that Kyrie makes them worse. I'm just saying their team doesn't run as nicely. The pieces don't work as well. Players don't shine in their roles. And, I really do think they're going to be a team that's going to be sneaking into the playoffs, like a lower seed compared to a four or five that I kind of predicted them to be.
Yeah, I would say that they flow better, but I wouldn't say that they were better last year. Like, you're replacing guys like Allen Crabbe and Damari Carroll with Garrett Temple and Torian Prince. Give me Torian Prince all day compared to Allen Crabbe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see that, but you also saw that Jared Allen was playing better last year, and so was Joe Harris.
Yeah, Jared Allen is the major one, right? If you're going to have to give DeAndre Jordan 20 to 25 minutes a game like they were earlier in the year. I mean, as of lately, DJ got hurt for a bit, and Allen's been playing a bit more, and he's kind of thrived in the position, right? Like, the more minutes this kid gets, the better he's going to be.
But it's kind of like that with all the players that are their role players. Like, they need a bit more of the ball. They need a bit more time to showcase. Not time, but they do well when they play more. But if you're restricting how many touches they get in a game or how influential they are, I think overall as a team, they're worse.
Let's just be honest, though. This year doesn't matter for them. So the only thing that matters this year is, like, developing their young players and finding out if LeVert's a really good third option on a good team. And if Torian Prince can play power forward against, you know, better teams. And if Jared Allen can play 30 minutes a game when he needs to. Because they're going to be first rounded out most likely unless they pull a crazy upset if Kyrie, scores 40 points a game in the playoffs. So come next year, they got to figure out how these guys fit around Kyrie and Kevin. And, I don't really think this year matters for them.
Kevin
Durant.
Oh, that guy. I don't know. I disagree. I think they still want to see how these guys mesh with Kyrie. Because if you just have to integrate one player, like superstar, obviously, but one player next year, it's a lot easier than basically having to rebuild chemistry all over again.
No, I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, like, in terms of the result, I don't think it really matters.
I still think they want to win.
Yeah.
It's kind of a wild thing to say that it doesn't matter. Like, I understand what you're saying. It's kind of like a write-off. Like, they're not expecting to win this year.
I think the most important thing for them this year is to find out if LeVert is a legit third option that can actually stay on the floor too.
Do you think he can?
Because if he's not, you might as well just trade him for role players and just build around those two.
Yeah, get Andrew Wiggins on this team.
No, or
don't do that. Do you think LeVert's legit though?
I love LeVert when he plays. It's just, I'm not sure he'd be a good third option on a championship team. I'm not sure he's that level of player.
What if he's fourth option?
Yeah, but who are you going to find as a third option, right? He already spent so much money on DeAndre Jordan and those three guys.
Spencer Dinwiddie, apparently.
Great off the bench.
Man, this Dinwiddie and Kyrie combination is not going to work long term. You can see it every time that they're on the floor together. These guys, whenever one of them has a ball, the other one just stands there looking all pissed. They're always yelling at each other for ruining defensive coverages or not feeding the other person the ball. Like, these guys have zero chemistry.
It sounds like the Rockets, except they don't care enough on defense, so they don't really yell at each other.
What do you mean? Russ and Harden are best friends. They go to baseball games together. They grew up playing together. They went to the
finals
together.
That's what I mean. They don't yell at each other.
Yeah, that's true. Kyrie and Spencer Dinwiddie are definitely not best friends. they're angry at each other.
Yeah, Gordon and Dinwiddie, they're great friends, you know, from last year anyway. Maybe not this year anymore, but they were last year.
It's easy to be friends when you're not actually playing together.
This is true.
Yeah, sharing the rock changes everything.
Yeah, man. That's why I can't play with Josh anymore.
Yeah, you pound the rock too much.
I do! First to admit it, I'm a selfish player, man. Gotta get my shots up.
You're the DeMar DeRozan of this podcast.
Yo, come on, man.
Oof. Oof. No defense,
I'm
Peter.
Joking. I'm just rude. That's too harsh. That's too harsh. Yeah.
I'm more like Marcus Morris.
Yeah, a lot of teams need you.
Senior.
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 Peter Tran, yes. Senior.
No, not there yet. Let's keep it that way. Alright, what do we think about the Nets? Where are they going to end up?
They're going to stay the same. Like, I don't have much to think that they're going to go down unless they really get more injured, but I don't see them making any big strides in the conference.
Joshua?
Yeah, they're going to be the most average team of all time and just be 41-41 and lose in the first round of 5 games.
Not in 6 games? I think that's more average.
Bucks in 5.
Ah, Bucks. That means you think they're going to be the 8th?
Yeah, I mean, it's Eastern Conference. They'll probably hit the 16.
All right, fine. I think they stay 6-7. They're not looking so hot. And I think once Kyrie comes back, they fall into shambles much more. All right, well, I guess it's my turn to pick a team. I don't really, you know, to be honest, I haven't watched this team very much, so I'm hoping one of you two have. But can someone explain to me how the Charlotte Hornets are 8-13? How have they won 8 games? They have more wins than the Wizards, the Pistons, the Bulls, and, you know, the bottom of the East, obviously. I thought they would be down there with the Knicks and the Hawks, man. What the hell? I really don't understand this team.
Yeah, once again, I think it just might be scheduling. Because they have beaten up on some pretty bad teams, even though everyone expected them to be a terrible team as well. And I still think they are a terrible team. And I think the regression to the mean is going to happen very, very quickly. I mean, if you just look at their regular stats, I mean, they're 28th in defense. They're 30th rebounding. So that's a pretty bad combination in itself, combined with the fact that Terry Rozier's been bad so far, and you don't really have a bench.
Yeah, and let's just really talk about that schedule. They beat Chicago by 1 point first game of the season. They beat Sacramento when Sacramento was like 0-5. They also beat up on Golden State, beat Indiana by 2, which is an impressive victory. They beat Detroit, they beat the Knicks, they beat Detroit, and they beat Detroit. So
they play Detroit a lot, eh?
Yeah, they played Detroit 3 times. Yeah, 3 wins out of their 8 are against Detroit, and they obviously beat up on Chicago. Oh, not beat up, but they beat Chicago and Golden State. Probably a pretty injured Golden State. I think that's the game where Steph broke his hand, if I'm not wrong.
Sounds accurate.
Yeah. Actually, it was the game Steph broke his hand before that game, I believe.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Steph broke his hand because Aaron Baines like sat on him.
Yeah.
But like I completely agree with Josh. I think they've had an easy schedule once they really start playing the better teams in the league, once they start playing the Lakers, Clippers, teams that they can't keep up with, like the Mavs and the Rockets, and even more of the teams in the East. Like, they probably lost to Brooklyn already. They lost to Toronto. Like, They're going to be a bottom dweller team. They might actually, with these 8 wins, end up getting close to 25 wins, but they're not making any noise, and I think they're going to decline. Like, I haven't watched much of their games, but I don't see them surprising anyone.
So what you're telling me is that I should not buy stock.
I would sell it like it's a fire sale.
Hmm. Well, that explains it for me then. That's a damn shame. I mean, are they flowing on offense at least? Are they scoring? Josh?
Yeah, I mean, they are scoring. Devontae Graham's been really good. He's been really fun to watch as well. The one good thing is they stopped playing Nicholas Batum as much, which is good.
He was also injured to start the year, though.
How many points do you think he's averaging this year?
I have their stats page pulled up. I can't.
All right, Raj.
Batum?
Yeah.
Six? Five? Six?
Wow.
3.6.
Wow.
Guess how many minutes he's averaging, though. Like, he's still playing a healthy 25? Amount. 22.4.
Oof. Still too much.
That's a healthy amount of minutes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's playing a lot. If he tried, he'd be good. He's like the new Boris Diaw.
No. Please, take that back.
Like, that's he could be. I think if he goes to a good team, like, he can still be good.
No, take that back. That's, like, the most offensive thing you've ever said
okay.
on this pod.
Okay, to test this theory, we gotta get Batum onto the Raptors.
Oh, Batum would be that? Great on the Raptors.
What if you traded...
I don't want Batum on the Raptors, but, you know, if he was to go there, he'd be great.
Would he?
He would be.
I don't know, man. He might pull a Stanley Johnson and then not get played.
Yeah, but Stanley Johnson was never good. Nicholas Batum was really good for a few years.
Yo, that was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Until he got paid. And then once he got paid and he realized that he didn't actually have to perform to keep getting a paycheck.
Yeah, yo, on the real, like, that was a good 6 years ago minimum, because I was still in Ottawa at that point.
How old do you think he is?
32. 31,
30. 32. He's
30. Yeah.
Like, he's 30 years old, man. He should be in, like, the later part of his prime, right?
I'm telling you, he got paid, and he's...
Yeah, he's like, chilling.
Yeah, like, this is a great career livelihood for him. Like, he's preserving his knees. He's going to want to play with his kids when he's older. Like, he's taking the retirement route.
It was just 3 years ago that he averaged 15, 6, and 6.
No
so
way.
So he's not far that like that far off from being good.
With who? With Charlotte?
Yeah.
When did he get his contract?
Well, this is the last year of his contract, so I think he got 5 years, so.
Oh, so he got it. 2014.
Yeah, he went to Charlotte in 2015. And yeah. His first 2 years were actually pretty good, and then he just completely fell off a cliff.
That's a damn shame. Well, not for him, at least. He's doing very well for himself.
Well, I think after this year, he's obviously gonna, you know, be a free agent. Is he gonna stay in the league? Who knows? I don't know.
Does he go to China? Does he join Jeremy Lin?
Maybe.
Does he join Boris Diaw on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean?
He is not like Boris Diaw. Remove that, like, link that you've made in your mind, because Boris Diaw had, in my opinion, had a lot more finesse to his game, just because they're both European players.
They're both French.
Yes, players. Exactly.
Not just European, they're French, Raj. They're teammates, these two.
But they are not equal on skill.
Nicholas Batum is so feisty on the international stage, he once punched a guy in the nuts mid-game.
He still has fire in him.
Yeah, man, even this year, he was saucy in the summer.
Actually, you know what? Him and Diaw's careers really do correlate.
Yeah, except Boris is a winner.
No, but, you know, just looking back, before he was, like, a true winner on the Spurs, right? Boris Diaw, what team did he play for where he was, like, 400 pounds?
The Bobcats, baby.
And terrible. Yes. And then where did he go? The Spurs. And what happened to his career? He flourished.
So you want to
get... And he was, what, only, like, 29, 30 years old? The same time frame as what Batum is going through right now.
I will take that bet that Batum does not get a contract with the Spurs, that he doesn't ever flourish, he doesn't ever become an NBA champion. I'm going to take my odds on that.
Hey, Diaw went to the Spurs when he was 29 years old, so it's almost the exact same timeline.
So Batum
is going to be a Raptor next year, and he's going to win a championship.
Maybe. Did Boris Diaw win the championship immediately? No, it was like 33 or 34 when they won, man.
So they won in 14-15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been the second year with the Spurs.
Oh, wow. It was 31. Wow, you're right. So
that'll be the year that Toronto gets Giannis, and then, you know, Batum will be the starting small forward.
Starting small forward? Over OG?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
This is just too much.
This has gone off the rails, man.
We've fully gone into Josh's fantasy world.
Screw the Hornets. They're done. I'm over it. We all think they're going to go down, obviously.
Man, Batum is going to be huge for the Raptors in the finals in 2022.
Jesus.
Peter, I think this is time to...
Yeah, I got to end this, man.
You got to stop this. This is torture now.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.